Call the committee to order. We have a new aggressive chairman here today, and so we'll move along quickly. Representative Gardner, we have your house file, and since we do not have quorum yet, we'll just have you discuss your bill, and then we'll move on it later. Would you like me to... Representative Champion. Okay.
We'll have to wait.
All right.
We have to wait.
Representative Gardner, proceed. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, House File 1333 relates to regional transit bonding authorization. It doesn't have any effect on the state budget, but the state legislature is required to give authority to regional transit authorities in order for them to issue regional bonds. And this is for new buses, bus garages, bus shelters, and the like, park and ride lots is another. So this is something that would allow Met Council and other public transit authorities around the state to acquire the capital they need to invest in those assets. I understand that you don't do testifiers in finance, but I have Mr. Shetman from the Met Council just in case you have any questions. But this has usually been issued on an annual basis, and when there's a no tax bill that makes it through the process, it's done biannually. So this isn't anything particularly unusual. I see we really packed him in for this issue today, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
The powerful bench lobby is here.
Any questions from the committee? Yes. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Gardner, what is the, on the Met Council and these, and I'm, is these are general obligation bonds? No, but they are revenue bonds?
Representative Gardner.
I have Mr. Shetman here from Met Council to respond more directly.
Welcome. If you will state your name for the record and proceed.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Judd Shetman. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Metropolitan Council. And Representative Kiffmeyer, that is correct. The council comes to the legislature every year to receive authorization to be able to levy or to be able to get bonding authorization so that we can go ahead and enter into contracts for bus replacement, to build bus shelters, to build park and ride lots, and whatnot for the regional transit system. And what we do then is, as part of our property tax levy, we pay off the debt service for these bonds. And since 2003, since this council has been in place, we've been managing that in a way that we're not raising the property taxes. So you'll see that every year we come in with a 1% growth in the ask that we have for our regional transit bonds. And this is to fund the small capital needs for Maple Grove Transit, for Scott County Transit, for Metro Mobility, for Metro Transit, and any of the community-based programs in the Seven County Metro area. And we manage these with the support of the administration and the council. It's a annual request that the council comes forward with.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Shetman, I understand that. My question is just your debt load, because I know if you're not doing general obligation, you're doing revenue bonds, you need to have revenue to pay back those bonds in one state or another. And if I recall right, don't you still have bonding that you need to pay off? And my concern is, financially, can you afford the additional debt load?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, yes, we can, because the council has a property tax that we have, that we levy every year to pay for the debt service on these bonds. And we only levy enough to keep the levy flat. So that debt service, we absolutely have the amount of money available to pay that, because we do that through the regional property tax every year.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think the second question to that is, will this then increase those property taxes for those residents?
Mr.
Chair and Representative Kiffmeyer, again, I'd like to state that we're part of the administration, and there's no way that the governor's office would allow us to allow that to happen. So we manage these where the overall levy is flat. The property tax levy is flat. We manage that within our property tax levy. So you will not see any tax increase in this bill. And Representative Hausman asked me that same exact question when we were in Transportation Finance last week, and I'm happy to say that the answer is no.
Any other questions from the committee?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Biskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Shetman, as I look at your sheet you've handed out, I see about the $225 million in bonding authorization in the last 5 years. It's recently come to my attention that at the state level, in just the past 3 years, we have close to $900 million in unauthorized bonding projects we've put forward that haven't been authorized yet. Mr. Shetman, how much of this $225 million has not been let yet?
Mr. Shetman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Biskin, I just want to make a clarification quick with your question. When you talk about the $900 million, are you talking about general obligation bonding? Because these are not general obligation bonds.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Biskin, Representative Biskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Mr. Shetman, I was just using the $900 million as an example. That says the state TO bonds, correct. I'm just asking, from Met Council's bonding authority, we've given you close to $225 million in bonding authority in the past 5 years. How much of that has not yet been issued?
Mr. Shetman.
Mr. Chair and Representative Biskin, I have two quick responses. The first is that what we have here with these bonds that we are requesting, they are not general obligation bond eligible. So I want to make sure the committee is aware of that, that what we are asking for here, they do not have the 20, 30-year lifespan that you would need to be general obligation bond eligible. So that is why these are called small capital bonds. They've got a lifespan of maybe 20 years, so that's why we're not eligible for the general obligation bonds. And Representative Biskin, I think that we have somewhere around the balance of between $80 and $100 million in outstanding bonding authority. But the entire purpose of having that, we have to have normally 2 years is what we like to have, 2 to 3 years in advance, because in order for us to enter into a contract for a bus procurement or for a park and ride or such, we need to have the authorization in hand so that we can enter into that contract. And then what the council does is spread that debt service out over those years. So again, this is the way we've been handling this for the past 20, 25 years, and we're just seeking that additional authorization. We're not saying we're going to turn around and issue all of those bonds at the same time, but what it is to show whoever we're having do the work that we have the authorization in hand, because otherwise they won't enter in a contract with us.
Representative Biskin.
Thank you. I appreciate that answer. Thank you, Mr. Shetman. One other question. From your 2008 to 2009 operating budgets, there was a $2 million increase for the North Star salaries. There was also an insurance increase of over 61% from 2008 adopted budget. Again, the increase in insurance costs was stated to be because of North Star. Mr. Shetman, how much of this request, $32.4 million in bonding, does the Met Council also project increase in operations costs that would be incurred if these projects move forward? And do you have that number for us?
Mr. Shetman.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Biskin, I do not have that detail in front of you. Again, these are just our bonds, our capital bonds, so they will not be used for any type of operations. I would be happy to come meet with you, Representative Biskin, and go through this on a one-to-one basis. I am not the project director for North Star. I'd be happy to come and have that conversation, but I think that we're talking about two different things here.
Mr. Chairman. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Shetman. It may appear that way, all right, but every time you increase your capital projects in transit, you buy more buses, you build more facilities, you're also going to incur more operating costs. It's not, you're not going to build a building and leave it sit empty or purchase buses and not use them. They incur more operating costs. So knowing what is the ongoing cost incurred for these capital projects, I think, is an important detail that particularly metro area legislators would like to know, because it's their property taxes that fund these ongoing costs. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We now have a quorum, so I will call the meeting to order. Representative Sampson, would you move House File 1333?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the Transportation Policy and Finance Division report for House File number 1333.
Thank you. It has been moved. We will now vote. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Representative Sampson?
Mr. Chair, I also move House File number 1333 to be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Taxes.
Okay. Now we have the bill before us. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and this is a question for Representative Gardner. In the past, there have been attempts to expand the taxing district to communities such as mine in cities like Greenfield and Dayton and Rogers that don't currently have service. And I'm wondering if you mentioned earlier, Mr. Shetman, that the taxes aren't going to increase. And that made me wonder, is that because there's an intention to expand the taxing district? Maybe you could just talk about that a little bit.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Pepin, I'm afraid you've outed my elaborate scheme. I know that there is legislation out there to propose expanding the metro taxing district. I know I've got people coming to a park and ride in my area in just outside my district in Centerville and also in Lionel Lakes who come from further north, and I think there are people in those communities who would like to see the people who are actually using them pay for them on their property taxes, but that would be another issue for another bill. It's not within the scope of this particular bill. I believe there is one bill out there on expanding the transit district, and I can't tell you who has that right off the top of my head.
Then maybe I'll address my follow-up to Mr. Shetman. Is it the intention of the Met Council to support such legislation?
Mr. Shetman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pepin, no, it's not.
Any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative Champion renews his motion to move House File 1333 to be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Taxes. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed?
No.
No.
Yeah, the motion prevails.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I was just going to mention that this bill does apply to Greater Minnesota also, not just the Twin Cities.
Thank you, Representative Gardner. Okay.
Oh, I'm mistaken, Mr. Chair.
Representative Carlson, would you care to move the minutes, please?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
From March 20th. The minutes have been moved. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Yeah. This one. Okay, the next bill before us is House File 894. Representative Atkins, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hilty, would you move House File 894 for Representative Atkins?
Mr. Chair, I would move that House File 894, the first engrossment, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
All those in favor say aye.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let's present the bill first. All right.
No, not at all.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Oh,
all right. Okay. All right. So, Representative, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if you're happy voting on it right away, I'd be fine with that, too. But take you back to 1982. I would have been a sophomore in high school. Picture where you may have been back in 1982. By way of example, let's assume that you went to the car dealer and you were going to buy a car. And you're going to make payments on that car, and you'd hope to take delivery of the car relatively soon. And that 26 years went by, and you made 26 years worth of payments and never got a car. That's essentially what's happened with Yucca Mountain and the proposed storage facility for our spent nuclear waste. In 1982, a project got underway. They started hitting up our fellow Minnesotans through their rates to pay what now has become $13 million a year, over $600 million total, that was supposed to go towards finishing Yucca Mountain and making it, preparing it so that it could receive nuclear waste by no later than 1998. That time has come and gone, and yet we continue to pay $13 million a year, $549 per customer in Minnesota, with no end in sight, no finishing of Yucca Mountain. In fact, Harry Reid just put out a press release saying President Obama took a critical first step towards fulfilling his promise to end the Yucca Mountain project. So we have all these nice customers in Minnesota and across 33 other states in the country continuing to pay towards that. There's $31 billion on hand. My bill says enough is enough. We've paid plenty in. We shouldn't pay any more until we have some indication that that thing is actually done. And if $31 billion isn't enough to get it up and operating, we shouldn't continue to throw good money after bad. So that's the essence of the bill, Mr. Chair and members. It has the support of the City of Red Wing. The mayor testified in the last committee, Prairie Island Indian Community, and Excel. There was one change that was made in the committee, and that is to recognize that this is not something that Minnesota can stand alone and do. We've got folks at the federal level that are seeking to allow for this as well, so that we don't put Excel, which is the one that actually pays in, that we don't put Excel in the spot where they're paying twice, once into the state to have the funds escrowed here, and once into the federal government to continue to paying into the nuclear waste fund. Once it's authorized, it would allow the payments to come and be held by the, in this case, the Department of Commerce, until and unless the project is done. And I've always found in my life that he who has the money has the leverage. If we decide to hold the money here, I believe it puts us in a much better position relative to leverage and using the money for what it was intended. And with that, I'd be happy to stand for any questions, Mr. Chair.
Again, questions with Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You were talking about old history, and part of the old history that I remember is that Minnesota was considered one of the spots where we should store nuclear waste because we're stable. We don't have earthquakes. We have granite bedrock. And that there was a serious proposal to store the waste in Minnesota. So you just said he who has the money has the leverage. I'm wondering if the result of this bill is he who has the money has the waste. Because it seems to me that if I were the federal government and you weren't paying me to deal with the job, then I would say to you, you do it. And so the implication of this is the waste will be in Minnesota forever. Is that your intention?
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Wagenius, I appreciate the question. No, that's not my intention. And I, to complete the picture a little bit, we are doing this in hand with a number of other states across the country that are pursuing the same thing. I believe we're up to a half dozen now that are also proposing to do it in the same fashion. And moreover, that the piece that was added in Chairman Hilty's committee says that this would only go into place in the event that the federal government authorized
the ability to do it in this fashion. So all of the states then would hopefully be in a position where they would hold the money until it just doesn't make a great deal of sense to be sending it off to some fund in Washington, D.C., where it sits, and they have control over it. This is about the states having some say in what's going to happen with it.
Representative Wiginian.
Well, I'm glad that that's not your intention, but I think that will be the unintended consequence. Because if I were the federal government and the states were holding on to the money and we had the waste, I would say to the states, you take care of it. And Minnesota, you're in a particularly good position to take care of the waste because you're stable, you don't have earthquakes, you have granite formations, and you're actually the perfect place to put waste. So I find this to be a dangerous I find this to be a dangerous bill. It scares me.
And Representative Wiginius, I think we go down that path one way or the other. We're in a position where the President now and Senator Reid have cut off part of the funding for Yucca Mountain comes from the Department of Defense. At some point, we need to all step up, sit down, and get together around this issue about what's going to actually happen. And to have all of the states, which is the hope of this bill, is that all 33 or 34 states will join together and say, time to actually get this thing done at Yucca. But to continue to have our taxpayers' money go off to an account in Washington, D.C. with no end in sight and no outcome seems a little ridiculous to me.
Representative Wiginia.
When you talk about getting us all together and figuring out what to do, that does tell me, again, that what will happen in the end is this waste will remain here for your lifetime and mine and my grandchildren's lifetime. So if that is the case, then I think we ought to have a budget and know what it would cost. Is the money that you're setting aside enough money to maintain this waste safely in Minnesota as far as the eye can see? I mean, because that is, I mean, the waste is here. It is not going someplace else. And this seems to me to say, we've agreed. So, is this enough money?
Is that
question?
And Mr. Chair, Representative Wiginius, at the rate we're going, that's exactly what's occurring right now. The waste is going nowhere. The one thing that we can say with certainty is that if we do nothing and don't change the way that we're doing, we're going to keep that waste forever because it's not going off to Yucca Mountain. It's not going anywhere other than sitting down there in Red Wing and going nowhere fast. So this is the goal here is to try to have the states have some ability to push the federal government into finally completing Yucca Mountain.
I don't think the federal government is going to push for Yucca Mountain, so I go back to my original question. Have you figured out if this amount of money is enough to pay for the storage here for as far as the eye can see, since it's not going to Yucca Mountain? Is this the right amount of money to encase this stuff, because we knew the casks were not permanent casks. We knew they had a limited lifetime. Is this enough money?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wiginius, I have no idea if this is enough money. I don't want to keep the waste in Minnesota. The point is to not keep the waste in Minnesota. If you're suggesting that we ought to figure that amount out and step up and say we're willing to keep it here, and at this particular price tag, then I'd suggest that, you know, we begin that conversation. But that's not certainly not my intent. My intent is no different than any other consumer, that if you buy a car and you make 26 worth of payments and you don't get the car, you ought not to keep paying. It's just that simple.
Finally, the consequence of what you're doing, whether it's intended or not, is to say that this waste will be remaining in Minnesota and we're setting aside a fund to pay for it. I mean, that's what this bill is saying. Whether you want it in the end to stay here or not, I don't think we have any leverage. I think we have zero leverage. And I wish you weren't doing this, Bill.
Mr. Chair and Representative Virginius, I appreciate your perspective. As I said, and I'll be real brief to that point, is I know for certain at the rate we're going, we're keeping the nuclear waste in Minnesota. If we don't do anything, we will continue to keep the nuclear waste in Minnesota, and we will keep it in a fashion that is not permanently encased and is not as safe as it would be in Yucca Mountain. So whether it's this approach or whether it's some combination of other approaches, we need to do something to get the federal government to finally step up and do what they said they would do in 1982, which is take the nuclear waste from the various 34 states and put it someplace safe.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Atkins, in regards to this particular bill, I don't like the idea of sending $13 million out somewhere. We never get anything for it after all these years. Certainly don't appreciate that. In the meantime, has not this waste been stored since 1972 in our state? And has there been any safety incidents since 1972 of storage within our state? I'm just curious.
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kiffmeyer, it's been stored in Minnesota from the moment that it has begun to be created. I'm not aware of any safety incidents relative to it, but I recognize that it's also not permanently encased at this point in the safe fashion that it was designed to be in Yucca Mountain.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Atkins, then this $13 million might be helpful since we are paying double right now. We're paying for Yucca Mountain. That's great for jobs in their state. But it might be nice if we kept it here in Minnesota, and maybe there might be some help there. But nonetheless, we all certainly want things to be safely stored. But nonetheless, we're paying double right now, and I like the idea of at least keeping the $13 million in our state for our possible use.
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Atkins, I guess I think I carried the original nuclear waste storage bill and set up the compact and so forth, and I guess I support this bill in terms of you're trying to make a point. I think I visited Yucca Mountain two or three times over the course of the years in which it's been going. But this isn't fully related to your bill, but the whole subject is so intertwined. There is a bill to take off in this state and in other states to take off the moratorium on the construction of nuclear power plants. And I think certainly before we've had a lot of recognition over the state that as we're concerned about global warming, nuclear power is a non-global warming productive step. But I think as we start talking about the construction of further plants, we understand that that's totally inappropriate until we solve the waste problem. And a whole lot of this has to be done. The state can take a lead unless we want to take a lead because of one of the things that the federal government has totally eliminated is any concept of reprocessing, which is what is used throughout Europe. And there's good reasons for not wanting to do reprocessing, because the byproduct of reprocessing means that you're storing large amounts of plutonium. So one might be concerned of the security of doing that in terms of the getting it one step closer than uranium to making a nuclear device. But I think we really need a very thorough discussion, you know, and it has to occur at the federal level as to, are we going to construct, how are we going to solve the waste problem in a better place than the two waste storage places, which are right alongside the Mississippi River in Minnesota. And then we also have to look at the issue of reprocessing and decide what the, you know, is, should we be doing this, which would give us another source of fuel for nuclear power plants, but would need the kind of security in place to not have to worry about the plutonium byproduct. So there aren't any good answers, but I hope that those that are pressing to lift the moratorium understand that the last thing we need to do is construct new plants until we solve the problem accompanying the old plants.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, Representative Atkins, can you clarify what the effective date is on page 2?
Representative Atkins.
When it kicks in. Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, I appreciate the question. Effective following federal action releasing utilities that own or operate a nuclear power plant from their financial obligations. Currently under U.S. Code, this section is there, 42. Section 10.222 is the requirement that they pay. I believe it's one tenth of one penny of every kilowatt hour per customer into the nuclear waste fund. The action that we're seeking from the federal government would lift that. That's the requirement that's contained within Title 42, Section 10.222. There's been proposals at the federal level to lift that requirement, and the hope would be that the states would then be in a position where they could take those funds, escrow those funds, and then use them for the purpose for which they were intended to be. The short answer to the effective date is as soon as the federal government were to take action.
So, Mr. Chairman, a non-lawyer speaks. Same thing is, this is not, we don't get the money until the federal government says we can get the money. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, that is what this bill says.
Okay.
And I should probably fill out the answer to this. The way I originally had it proposed had nothing to do with whether the feds agreed or not. And I was persuaded that we should at least give them the opportunity to do the right thing. Failing that, perhaps come back with the bill that says we're going to do it among us and 33 other states. We're going to do it ourselves, regardless of what the feds decide to do or not.
Thank
and
you.
Have a fight with them.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Atkins. I was listening intently to what Representative Wodenius had to say, and I followed her logic, but I think I have concerns that are in a little bit different direction than she would like to go. My concern is not that we have to, not so much that we have to worry about finding a facility to store it in Minnesota. My concern is overall that if all these states go ahead and do this, then that will kill the industry. But that could potentially have the effect to actually prevent further development of nuclear power plants, which I think will have a huge impact on our economy because it's a big part of our energy solution right now. And if we are going to stop the creation of new nuclear power plants throughout the country, we're going to have a really hard time meeting our baseload. So I'm worried about, I guess, probably in the opposite direction of what she's worried about. But my question, I guess, was, In the Energy Committee, and you talked about a little bit with Representative Solberg, you talked about the legislation, and you had mentioned in the Energy Committee that you were asking Representative Paulson and Senator Klobuchar to carry the bills federally to do what you say in the back page of the bill, and I'm wondering if you could update us on where exactly those bills are and what the likelihood is that these bills will pass.
Representative Steppen, I'm 100% concerned, 100% convinced that they'll pass them. No, I'm just making that up. I have my sense is in the Senate, it's not been introduced. In the House, Representative Paulson has actually pursued it via an amendment thus far. It's not. I don't believe that it has progressed thus far, and I wouldn't, quite honestly, I don't know that I'd expect it to. Until some other states, and like I said, there's roughly a half dozen that have introduced legislation or are in the process of introducing legislation to start this discussion. And just a point relative to your first concern, I haven't heard from anybody in the industry, and I have spoken to some folks in the industry, that have said that it would stop the industry from continuing its pursuit of additional nuclear plants. There might be some who oppose that would then like my bill better if it did, but the $31 billion that's already on account should go a long ways towards getting Yucca Mountain done. The goal here is just to stop throwing good money after bad, because as Representative Wagenius noted and others, that right now at the pace we're going, we just keep this waste here in a non-permanent fashion, and we don't have the ultimate permanent and safe solution that we need.
Any other questions or discussion? Representative Clark.
Yeah, I have a question, and I did ask that with Representative Kiffmeyer. You indicated that you thought it was useful to keep this money in Minnesota so that we would have use of it. What were you thinking that we were, how we were going to use this money?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Clark, I don't have any specific uses for it. I just a general principle, keep Minnesota money in Minnesota for our uses. Preferably, I would prefer, if they're not going to use it for some other purpose, then it should go back to the ratepayers who paid it, should be refunded back to them, or it should be used for the purposes for which it was collected. That, to me, is just a principal position. I don't have anything else more than that.
I don't think you quite answered my question. Maybe this is more of a question than to the author. My understanding is this is being kept in an escrow account, not for use, not available to be used.
Right.
Is that, am I wrong? Or is this going to be something that, as Representative Kiffmeyer thinks, would be somehow be able to be used?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, under the bill, it would call for the money to be escrowed to collect interest in an account here in Minnesota, with the eventual purpose, hopefully, to go off together with the monies from other states to go off to the completion of Yucca Mountain to get it, you know, that they say, okay, it's ready to accept waste. All right, here's our contribution. You've kept your end of the deal. We'll keep our end. But barring that, at the rate they're going, it doesn't look like they're going to keep their end of the deal. So my question and the purpose of the bill is, why continue sending good money after bad to some account in Washington, D.C., when they're not keeping their end of the bargain?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, so I think you're backing me up. The money would not be available for Minnesota to use. That's what I thought I heard you say, and I just don't think we should be under the illusion that somehow the money would be kept here for Minnesotans to use. It wouldn't be. It would be sitting in an account for nobody to use. Isn't that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, the purpose of the escrow account would be to hold it until the purpose is finished, which is Yucca Mountain.
Okay.
If Yucca Mountain is not finished and there was authority to use it for some other purpose, then it could be used for that purpose, but that is not the current case.
Right. Okay, I just want to make sure that I understood and that we all understood exactly what this money would not be available by just keeping it here in Minnesota. The other thing I wanted to ask, there was a question earlier about have there been any problems with the story that at Clarence, I think it was maybe a month ago, there was a code yellow incident that happened there, and are you familiar with that, Representative Atkins?
Representative Clark, not that particular incident, no.
I just asked my staff to try to bring down the article on it. Sorry, I don't have the date exactly when it happened, but there was an incident there, and I know the community around there was a little disturbed because they weren't informed right away. But there was a problem of moving from the plant, I believe, in to talk about it in just very gross terms, I guess. The shipment didn't stay located in the way it was supposed to stay in the container, and rotated down to the bottom of the container. And the concern was that in the shipping of it, it could have exposed, as it was transported, could have exposed if it had gone straight on the side. It moved. It should not move, period. But it did move. And when it did, depending where it landed in the container, there's an exposure to the public that happened. And they called it code yellow because it's something that's very serious. And it didn't stay on the side of the container, which is good because in the way it was being transported, vehicles passing on the same highway were not exposed to that high-level radiation. On the other hand, it could have stayed there. And so this is not a perfect situation to either have maintained there or transporting from there the nuclear waste that's created there. And it's a risky, very risky situation. It doesn't so much speak to this particular purpose of this bill, but I wanted to mention that because there are dangers, continuous dangers, of leakage and of incidents that have happened over the years, numerous ones that the people of Hay Island can tell you about. This is just a recent one. It's not a harmless It's a great way to have this high-level nuclear waste sitting, as Representative Kahn mentioned, on the Mississippi River. And so I just think we need to be clear about that when we're talking about the whole issue of nuclear power, and especially the waste that's generated by it.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Clark, I just want to clarify that I did not have by any means in my words or intentions to say that that $13 million could be used to balance our budget in the situation it's in. It's obviously an escrow, but main thing is that it could be used for its purposes, and just to clarify. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Representative Clark's point, I would love to, if you could bring in more information about that, because what I've read is that there's never been any deaths from a nuclear power plant in the United States. And the one incident that did happen, the result was exactly what was intended to happen. And as far as the radioactive levels, I've heard that anecdotally, and I've tried to find more information on that. So if you could bring that, that would be great. My understanding is the last time they did a report on Monticello, the plant there, which I live fairly close to, is the radioactive levels were well within the normal range. So if you could find that article on the code yellow, I'm trying to understand a little bit more about the issue of radioactivity and what exactly that means, what exactly maybe the harm that's been done to people that have been exposed to radioactivity from nuclear power plants throughout the years. I've never seen any real specific information on that. So if you could provide that, that would be really helpful.
There's a lot of information around the country and around the world, and so sure, we could put together something for you.
Any other discussion or questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative Atkins, would you like to make a summation?
Mr. Chair,
I'll move.
I think folks have a good understanding of it.
Representative Hilty renews his motion for House File 895 to be recommended to pass and be referred to committee in Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, that
894, excuse me. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
No.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hilton.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir. Representative Hilton.
Reserve comment until we move to Representative Atkins' bill, because I didn't want to prolong that discussion, but I should mention, since we are on the subject of nuclear energy, that the Legislative Energy Commission will be hearing expert testimony on the moratorium issue this coming Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. in this room, and that following day, also at 6:30 in this room, the Energy Committee will be taking action on the moratorium proposal.
Thank you, Representative Hilton. Mm-hmm. Representative Hoffman.
Since Representative Hilty has raised that, I'm assuming the committee will look at the most recent action of the Obama administration and how it affects that decision. That does put our state in a totally different position relative to nuclear waste.
Okay. Representative Welty. Representative Welty has House File 865, and would Representative Lagunas move the House File, please?
Yes, I'll move the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division report for House File 865.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Welcome, Representative Welty. Excuse me, Representative Lagunas,
I'd like to move House File 865, be recommended to pass and place it in general register.
Mm-hmm. Representative Welty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'll try to keep this as brief as possible. House File 865 in front of you redesignates the Great River Ridge Trail as a state trail. In 2006, we passed language that designated the trail a state trail. But it was unique because we wanted there to be an agreement between the county, or Wabasha County Regional Rail Authority, and the state of Minnesota as far as the maintenance of the trail. And so the language said that there must be an agreement between the county or the Regional Rail Authority and the state. And then it also had some language in there that the Regional Rail Authority had to file some special language with the Secretary of State. Well, a legal contract was drawn up between the Wabasha County Regional Rail Authority and the state that's here, so we fulfilled our obligation. The only thing that wasn't submitted was the special paperwork to the Secretary of State essentially saying that this was done. And so the DNR, we all thought it was designated, and then in February of this year, the DNR started engineering work on the Great River Ridge Trail because in 2008, we appropriated $1.5 million in bonding money to construct or pave the trail. And then it was found that this special paperwork hadn't been filed. We followed up, found out that there was a gap because of some staff turnover in the county. And so the DNR came forward and they said, we want to continue moving forward on this trail, but in order to get this legally found, we just want you to redesignate the trail and use the same language as a normal trail would use when designating a trail. So that's why this bill is in front of you. Ron Potter with the DNR is here in the audience if you need any questions answered. We have taken this through both environment committees, and it's sailed through, and there weren't any questions.
Any questions from the committee? Discussion. Representative Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Welty, 2008 money was appropriated, bonding was appropriated for exactly what purpose?
It was
Representative Welty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Emmer. The bonding was appropriated for paving the trail.
Mr. Chair, Representative
Emmer.
So this agreement, it sounds like there's more than just one piece to it. By taking it on as a state trail, what does that encompass in terms of responsibility, liability into the future?
Representative Welty.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Emmer, when a state trail is normally designated a state trail, the state assumes full responsibility for that trail. And we wanted there to be shared responsibility for the trail, and that's why there was this agreement drawn up, so that the Wabasha County Regional Rail Authority has some share of maintenance and operation of that trail, which is not normally done. So it's actually in the state's best interest to move down this road when there's actually a shared responsibility between the local unit of government and the state.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Emmer.
Well, I can't argue that, but it seems to me that we don't have a state trail right now. Why isn't it just all the maintenance, why doesn't it rest with the local authority as opposed to the state taking on any responsibility for it, unless it was a state trail originally?
Representative Welty.
If you want to get into what the state takes on when they designate a state trail, I would ask Mr. Potter to come down and answer that question if you want to get into all the technicalities of it.
Actually, Mr. Chair, Representative Welty, all I'm interested in is, are we taking on additional financial responsibilities over and above in continuing the bonding authority that was issued?
Representative Welty.
Mr. Chair, Representative Emmer, I have a fiscal note here showing no cost to the state for this, because either they've already built it into their base budget or they're willing to absorb, plus there's this agreement in place of the state having some, or the local unit of government having some share in this.
So, Mr. Chairman, Representative Welty, it's your understanding that there's absolutely no cost to the state as far as ongoing maintenance?
Representative Welty.
I am referring, Mr. Chair, Representative Emmer, I'm referring to the fiscal note that was presented to me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Welty, I don't have that fiscal note, I don't believe. And does it go for the next 2 years, or is it into the future?
Representative Welty.
Mr. Chair, Representative Emmer, fiscal year 2009 through fiscal year 2013.
Okay. Thanks.
Representative Hoffman.
Mr. Chair, I just thought I would let you know that I did give the bill to our research staff just to check the bonding language to see whether language needs to be repeated somewhere else.
Any other discussion or questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative Lagenius renews her motion to move House File 865 to be recommended to pass and placed in the general register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion passes. All right, we have a note here. Please remove, arrive promptly. Our goal is to hear the bill and move it to taxes on Tuesday, March 24th at 8 a.m. Yep, Tuesday, March 24th.
Which bill is it?
The Lanning Bill? House File 1194.
What is that?
Is to be moved to taxes. Thank you. And by the way, I ask and appreciate the indulgence of the committee members and staff today. Any other motion? Representative Viskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it's my understanding that the committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. for the purpose of moving a bill from finance to ways and means. Is that correct? To taxes, I'm sorry.
All right. That is correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
In room 10.
We're meeting tomorrow.
Seeing no other business.
Is that the only business?
You know, oh.
Can't we just do that right now? Okay.
Committee is adjourned. We call the committee to order. We have a new aggressive chairman here today, so we'll move along quickly. Representative Gardner, we have your house file, and since we do not have quorum yet, we'll just have you discuss your bill, and then we'll move on it later. Would you like me to... Representative Champion. Okay.
We'll have to wait.
All right.
We have to wait.
And Representative Gardner, proceed. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, House File 1333 relates to regional transit bonding authorization. It doesn't have any effect on the state budget, but the state legislature is required to give authority to regional transit authorities in order for them to issue regional bonds. And this is for new buses, bus garages, bus shelters, and the like, park and ride lots and others. So this is something that would allow Met Council and other public transit authorities around the state to acquire the capital they need to invest in those assets. I understand that you don't do testifiers in finance, but I have Mr. Shetman from the Met Council just in case you have any questions. But this has usually been issued on an annual basis, and when there's a no tax bill that makes it through the process, it's done biannually, so this isn't anything particularly unusual. I see we really packed an in for this issue today, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chair.
Yes, sir.
The powerful button bench lobby is here.
Any questions from the committee? Yes. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Gardner, what is the, on the Met Council and these, and I'm, is these are general obligation bonds? No, but they are revenue bonds?
I have Mr. Shetman here from Met Council to respond more directly.
Welcome. If you will state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Judd Shetman. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Metropolitan Council. And Representative Kiffmeyer, that is correct. The council comes to the legislature every year to receive authorization to be able to levy or to be able to get bonding authorization so that we can go ahead and enter into contracts for bus replacement, to build bus shelters, to build park and ride lots and whatnot for the regional transit system. And what we do then is, as part of our property tax levy, we pay off the debt service for these bonds. And since 2003, since this council has been in place, we've been managing that in a way that we're not raising the property taxes. So you'll see that every year we come in with a 1% growth in the ask that we have for our regional transit bonds. And this is to fund the small capital needs for Maple Grove Transit, for Scott County Transit, for Metro Mobility, for Metro Transit, and any of the community-based programs in the Seven County Metro area. And we manage these with the support of the administration and the council. It's a annual request that the council comes forward with.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Shetman, I understand that. My question is just your debt load, because I know if you're not doing general obligation, you're doing revenue bonds, you need to have revenue to pay back those bonds in one shape or another. And if I recall right, don't you still have bonding that you need to pay off? My concern is, financially, can you afford the additional debt load?
Mr. Chair, it represents Kipmeyer, yes, we can, because the council has a property tax that we have, that we levy every year to pay for the debt service on these bonds. And we only levy enough to keep the levy flat. So that debt service, we absolutely have the amount of money available to pay that, because we do that through the regional property tax every year.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think the second question to that is, will this then increase those property taxes for those residents?
Mr. Chair and Representative Kiffmeyer, again, I'd like to state that we're part of the administration, and there's no way that the governor's office would allow that to happen. So we manage these where the overall levy is flat. The property tax levy is flat. We manage that within our property tax levy. So you will not see any tax increase in this bill. And Representative Hausman asked me that same exact question when we were in Transportation Finance last week, and I'm happy to say that the answer is no.
Any other questions from the committee?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Buskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Shetman, as I look at your sheet you've handed out, I see about $225 million in bonding authorization in the last 5 years. It's recently come to my attention that at the state level, in just the past 3 years, we have close to $900 million in unauthorized bonding projects we've put forward that haven't been authorized yet. Mr. Shetman, how much of this $225 million has not been let yet?
Mr. Shetman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Biskins, I just want to make a clarification quick with your question. When you talk about the $900 million, are you talking about general obligation bonding? Because these are not general obligation bonds.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Biskins, Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Mr. Shetman, I was just using the $900 million as an example. That says the state GO bonds, correct? I'm just asking, from Met Council's bonding authority, we've given you close to $225 million in bonding authority in the past 5 years. How much of that has not yet been issued?
Mr. Shetman.
Mr. Chair and Representative Biskins, I have two quick responses. The first is that what we have here with these bonds that we are requesting, they are not general obligation bond eligible. So I want to make sure the committee is aware of that, that what we are asking for here, they do not have the 20, 30-year lifespan that you would need to be general obligation bond eligible. So that is why these are called small capital bonds. They've got a lifespan of maybe 20 years, so that's why we're not eligible for the general obligation bonds. And Representative Biskins, I think that we have somewhere around the balance of between $80 and $100 million in outstanding bonding authority. But the entire purpose of having that, we have to have normally 2 years is what we like to have, 2 to 3 years in advance, because in order for us to enter into a contract for a bus procurement or for a park and ride or such, we need to have the authorization in hand so that we can enter into that contract. And then what the council does is spread that debt service out over those years. So again, this is the way we've been handling this for the past 20, 25 years, and we're just seeking that additional authorization. We're not saying we're going to turn around and issue all of those bonds at the same time, but what it is basically is to show whoever we're having do the work that we have the authorization in hand, because otherwise they won't enter in a contract with us.
Representative Biskin.
Thank you. I appreciate that answer. Thank you, Mr. Shetman. One other question. From your 2008 to 2009 operating budgets, there was a $2 million increase for the North Star salaries. There was also an insurance increase of over
61% from 2008 adopted budget. Again, the increase in insurance costs was stated to be because of North Star. Mr. Shetman, how much of this request, $32.4 million in bonding, does the Met Council also project increase in operations costs that would be incurred if these projects move forward? And do you have that number for us?
Mr. Shetman.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Vitkin, I do not have that detail in front of you. Again, these are just our bonds, our capital bonds, so they will not be used for any type of operations. I would be happy to come meet with you, Representative Vitkin, and go through this on a one-to-one basis. I am not the project director for North Star. I'd be happy to come and have that conversation, but I think that we're talking about two different things here.
Mr. Chair. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Shetman. It may appear that way, all right, but every time you increase your capital projects in transit, you buy more buses, you build more facilities, you're also going to incur more operating costs. You're not going to build a building and leave it sit empty or purchase buses and not use them. They incur more operating costs. So knowing what is the ongoing costs incurred for these capital projects, I think, is an important detail that particularly metro area legislators would like to know, because it's their property taxes that fund these ongoing costs. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We now have a quorum, so I will call the meeting to order. Representative Champkin, would you move House File 1333?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the Transportation Policy and Finance Division report for House File number 1333.
Thank you. It has been moved. We will now vote. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Representative Champkin?
Mr. Chair, I also move House File number 1333 to be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Okay. And now we have the bill before us. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Peppin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a question for Representative Gardner. In the past, there have been attempts to expand the taxing district to communities such as mine and cities like Greenfield and Dayton and Rogers that don't currently have service. And I'm wondering if you mentioned earlier, Mr. Shetman, that the taxes aren't going to increase. And that made me wonder, is that because there's an intention to expand the taxing district? Maybe you could just talk about that a little bit.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pippen, I'm afraid you've outed my elaborate scheme. I know that there is legislation out there to propose expanding the metro taxing district. I know I've got people coming to a park and ride in my area in just outside my district, in Centerville and also in Lionel Lakes, who come from further north, and I think there are people in those communities who would like to see the people who are actually using them pay for them on their property taxes, but that would be another issue for another bill. It's not within the scope of this particular bill. I believe there is one bill out there on expanding the transit district, and I
can't
tell you who has that right off the top of my head.
Then maybe I'll address my follow-up to Mr. Shetman. Is it the intention of the Met Council to support such legislation?
Mr. Shetman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pepin, no, it's not.
Any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative Champion renews his motion to move House File 1333 to be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Taxes. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed?
No.
No.
Yeah, the motion prevails.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I was just going to mention that this bill does apply to Greater Minnesota also, not just the Twin Cities.
Thank you, Representative Gardner.
Resident Charles, would you care to move the minutes, please?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
March 20th. The minutes have been moved. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Yeah. This one. Okay, the next bill before us is House File 894. Representative Atkins, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hilty, would you move House File 894 for Representative Atkins?
Mr. Chair, I would move that House File 894, the first engrossment, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
All those in favor say aye.
Okay,
we have to present the bill first. All right.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
All right, so Representative Atkins. Excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if you're happy voting on it right away, I'd be fine with that, too. But I'll take you back to 1982. I would have been a sophomore in high school. Picture where you may have been back in 1982. By way of example, let's assume that you went to the car dealer and you were going to buy a car. And you're going to make payments on that car and you'd hope to take delivery of the car relatively soon. And that 26 years went by and you made 26 years worth of payments and never got a car. That's essentially what's happened with Yucca Mountain and the proposed storage facility for our spent nuclear waste. In 1982, a project got underway. They started hitting up our fellow Minnesotans through their rates to pay what now has become $13 million a year, over $600 million total, that was supposed to go towards finishing Yucca Mountain and making it, preparing it so that it could receive nuclear waste by no later than 1998. That time has come and gone, and yet we continue to pay $13 million a year. $549 per customer in Minnesota with no end in sight, no finishing of Yucca Mountain. In fact, Harry Reid just put out a press release saying President Obama took a critical first step towards fulfilling his promise to end the Yucca Mountain project. So we have all these nice customers in Minnesota and across 33 other states in the country continuing to pay towards that. There's $31 billion on hand. My bill says enough is enough. We've paid plenty in. We shouldn't pay any more until we have some indication that that thing is actually done. And if $31 billion isn't enough to get it up and operating, we shouldn't continue to throw good money after bad. So that's the essence of the bill, Mr. Chair and members. It has the support of the City of Red Wing. The mayor testified in the last committee. The Prairie Island Indian Community, and Excel. There was one change that was made in the committee, and that is to recognize that this is not something that Minnesota can stand alone and do. We've got folks at the federal level that are seeking to allow for this as well so that we don't put Excel, which is the one that actually pays in, that we don't put Excel in the spot where they're paying twice, once into the state to have the funds escrowed here and once into the federal government to continue to paying into the nuclear waste fund. Once it's authorized, it would allow the payments to come and be held by the, in this case, the Department of Commerce, until and unless the project is done. And I've always found in my life that he who has the money has the leverage. Once we continue to, if we decide to hold the money here, I believe it puts us in a much better position relative to leverage and using the money for what it was intended. And with that, I'd be happy to stand for any questions, Mr. Chair.
Again, questions with Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You were talking about old history, and part of the old history that I remember is that Minnesota was considered one of the spots where we should store nuclear waste because we're stable, we don't have earthquakes, we have granite, bedrock, and that there was a serious proposal to store the waste in Minnesota. So you just
said he who has the money has the leverage. I'm wondering if the result of this bill is he who has the money has the weight. Because it seems to me that if I were the federal government and you weren't paying me to deal with the job, then I would say to you, you do it. And so the implication of this is the waste will be in Minnesota forever. Is that your intention?
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Lagunas, I appreciate the question. No, that's not my intention. And I, to complete the picture a little bit, we are doing this in hand with a number of other states across the country that are pursuing the same thing. I believe we're up to a half dozen now that are also proposing to do it in the same fashion. And moreover, that the piece that was added in Chairman Hilty's committee says that this would only go into place in the event that the federal government authorized the ability to do it in this fashion. So all of the states then would hopefully be in a position where they would hold the money until it just doesn't make a great deal of sense to be sending it off to some fund in Washington, D.C., where it sits and they have control over it. This is about the states having some say in what's going to happen with it.
Representative Wiggins.
Well, I'm glad that that's not your intention, but I think that that will be the unintended consequence. Because if I were the federal government and the states were holding on to the money and we had the way, I would say to the states, you take care of it. And Minnesota, you're in a particularly good position to take care of the waste because you're stable. You don't have earthquakes. You have granite formations. And you're actually the perfect place to put waste. So I find this to be a dangerous thing. I find this to be a dangerous bill. It scares me.
And Representative Lagunas, I think we go down that path one way or the other. We're in a position where the President now and Senator Reid have cut off part of the funding for Yucca Mountain comes from the Department of Defense. At some point, we need to all step up, sit down, and get together around this issue about what's going to actually happen. And to have all of the states, which is the hope of this bill, is that all 33 or 34 states will join together and say, time to actually get this thing done at Yucca. But to continue to have our taxpayers' money go off to an account in Washington, D.C. with no end in sight and no outcome seems a little ridiculous to me.
Representative Wiggins.
When you talk about getting us all together and figuring out what to do, that does tell me again that what will happen in the end is this waste will remain here for your lifetime and mine and my grandchildren's lifetime. So if that is the case, then I think we ought to have a budget and know what it would cost. Is the money that you're setting aside enough money to maintain this waste safely in Minnesota, as far as the eye can see? I mean, because that is, I mean, the waste is here. It is not going to by itself. And this seems to me to say, we've agreed. So is this enough money? Is that question?
And Mr. Chair, Representative Lagunas, at the rate we're going, that's exactly what's occurring right now. The waste is going nowhere. The one thing that we can say with certainty is that if we do nothing and don't change the way that we're doing, we're going to keep that waste forever because it's not going off to Yucca Mountain. It's not going anywhere other than sitting down there in Red Wing and going nowhere fast. So this is the goal here is to try to have the states have some ability to push the federal government into finally completing Yucca Mountain.
I don't think the federal government is going to push for Yucca Mountain. So I go back to my original question. Have you figured out if this amount of money is enough to pay for the storage here for as far as the eye can see, since it's not going to Yucca Mountain? Is this the right amount of money to encase this stuff, because we knew the casks were not permanent casks. We knew they had a limited lifetime.
is just enough money.
I believe that.
Thank you, Mr. Representative Wiggins. I have no idea if this is enough money. I don't want to keep the waste in Minnesota. The point is to not keep the waste in Minnesota. If you're suggesting that we ought to figure that amount out and step up and say we're willing to keep it here and at this particular price tag, then I'd suggest that, you know, we begin the conversation. But that's not certainly not my intent. My intent is no different than any other consumer, that if you buy a car and you make 26 worth of payments and you don't get the car, you ought not to keep paying. It's just that simple.
Finally, the consequence of what you're doing, whether it's intended or not, is to say that this waste will be remaining in Minnesota and we're setting aside a fund to pay for it. I mean, that's what this bill is saying. Now, whether you want it in the end to stay here or not, I don't think we have any leverage. I think we have zero leverage. And I wish you weren't doing this bill.
Mr. Chair and Representative Virginius, I appreciate your perspective. As I said, and I'll be real brief to that point, is I know for certain at the rate we're going, we're keeping the nuclear waste in Minnesota. If we don't do anything, we will continue to keep the nuclear waste in Minnesota, and we will keep it in a fashion that is not permanently encased and is not as safe as it would be in Yucca Mountain. So whether it's this approach or whether it's some combination of other approaches, we need to do something to get the federal government to finally step up and do what they said they would do in 1982, which is take the nuclear waste from the various 34 states and put it someplace safe.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Atkins, in regards to this particular bill, I don't like the idea of sending $13 million out somewhere. We never get anything for it after all these years. Certainly don't appreciate that. In the meantime, has not this waste been stored since 1972 in our state? And has there been any safety incidents since 1972 of storage within our state? I'm just curious.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kiffmeyer, it's been stored in Minnesota from the moment that it has begun to be created. I'm not aware of any safety incidents relative to it, but I recognize that it's also not permanently encased at this point in the safe fashion that it was designed to be in Yucca Mountain.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Atkins, then this $13 million might be helpful since we are paying double right now. We're paying for Yucca Mountain. That's great for jobs in their state. But it might be nice if we kept it here in Minnesota, and maybe there might be some help there. But nonetheless, we all certainly want things to be safely stored. But nonetheless, we're paying double right now, and I like the idea of at least keeping the $13 million in our state for our possible use.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Atkins, I guess I support. I think I carried the original nuclear waste storage bill and set up the compact and so forth, and I guess I support this bill in terms of you're trying to make a point. I think I visited Yucca Mountain two or three times over the course of the years in which it's been going. This isn't fully related to your bill, but the whole subject is so intertwined. There is a bill to take off in this state and in other states to take off the moratorium on the construction of nuclear power plants. And I think certainly before we've had a lot of recognition over the state that as we're concerned about global warming, nuclear power is a non-global warming productive step. But I think as we're start talking about the construction of further plants, we understand that that's totally inappropriate until we solve the waste problem. And a whole lot of this has to be done. The state can take a lead unless we want to take a lead on the because of one of the things that the federal government has totally eliminated is any concept of reprocessing, which is what is used throughout Europe. And there's good reasons for not wanting to do reprocessing, but the byproduct of reprocessing means that you're storing large amounts of plutonium. So one might be concerned of the security of doing that in terms of the getting it one step closer than uranium to making a nuclear device. But I think we really need a very thorough discussion, you know, and it has to occur at the federal level as to, are we going to construct, how are we going to solve the waste problem in a better place than the two waste storage places which are right alongside the Mississippi River in Minnesota. And then we also have to look at the issue of reprocessing and decide what the, you know, is, should we be doing this, which would give us another source of fuel for nuclear power plants, but would need the kind of security in place to not have to worry about the plutonium byproducts. So there aren't any good answers, but I hope that those that are pressing to lift the moratorium understand that the last thing we need to do is construct new plants until we solve the problem accompanying the old plants.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, Representative Adkins, can you clarify what the effective date is on page 2?
Representative Adkins.
When it kicks in. Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, I appreciate the question. Effective following federal action releasing utilities that own or operate a nuclear power plant from their financial obligations currently under U.S. Code, this section is there, 42, section 10.222, is the requirement that they pay, I believe it's one-tenth of 1% of every or one-tenth of one penny of every kilowatt hour per customer into the nuclear waste fund. The action that we're seeking from the federal government would lift that. That's the requirement that's contained within Title 42, Section 10.222. There's been proposals at the federal level to lift that requirement, and the hope would be that the states would then be in a position where they could take those funds, escrow those funds, and then use them for the purpose for which they were. The short answer to the effective date is as soon as the federal government were to take action.
So,
Mr. Chairman, a non-lawyer speak, they think is, this is not, we don't get the money until the federal government says we can get the money. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, that is what this bill says.
Okay.
And I should probably fill out the answer to this. The way I originally had it proposed was, had nothing to do with whether the Fed agreed or not. And I was persuaded that we should at least give them the opportunity to do the right thing. Failing that, perhaps come back with the bill that says we're going to do it among, you know, us and 33 other states. We're going to do it ourselves, regardless of what the Feds decide to do or not.
Thank you.
Have a fight with them.
Representative Evans.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Adkins. I was listening intently to what Representative Wagenius had to say, and I followed her logic, but I think I have concerns that are in a little bit different direction than she would like to go. My concern is not that we have to, not so much that we have to worry about finding a facility to store it in Minnesota. My concern is overall that if all these states go ahead and do this, then that will kill the industry. But that could potentially have the effect to actually prevent further development of nuclear power plants, which I think will have a huge impact on our economy because it's a big part of our energy solution right now. And if we are going to stop the creation of new nuclear power plants throughout the country, we're going to have a really hard time meeting our baseload. So I'm worried about, I guess, probably in the opposite direction of what she's worried about. But my question, I guess, was, In the Energy Committee, and you talked about it a little bit with Representative Solberg, you talked about the legislation, and you had mentioned in the Energy Committee that you were asking Representative Paulson and Senator Klobuchar to carry the bills federally to do what you say in the back page of the bill, and I'm wondering if you could update us on where exactly those bills are and what the likelihood is that these bills will pass.
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Representative Steppen, I'm 100% concerned, or 100% convinced that they'll pass them. No, I'm just making that up. I have my sense is in the Senate it's not been introduced. In the House, Representative Paulson has actually pursued it via an amendment thus far. It's not. I don't believe that that it has progressed thus far, and I wouldn't, quite honestly, I don't know that I'd expect it to until some other states, and like I said, there's roughly a half dozen that have introduced legislation or in the process of introducing legislation to start this discussion. And just a point relative to your first concern, I haven't heard from anybody in the industry, and I have spoken to some folks in the industry, that have said that it would stop the industry from continuing its pursuit of additional nuclear plants. There might be some who oppose that would then like my bill better if it did, but the $31 billion that's already on account should go a long ways towards getting Yucca Mountain done. The goal here is just to stop throwing good money after bad, because as Representative Wagenius noted and others, that right now at the pace we're going, we just keep this waste here in a non-permanent fashion. And we don't have the ultimate permanent and safe solution that we need.
Any other questions or discussion? Representative Clark.
Yeah, I have a question. Maybe I'll start with Representative Kiffmeyer. You indicated that you thought it was useful to keep this money in Minnesota so that we would have use of it. What were you thinking that how we were going to use this money?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Clark, I don't have any specific uses for it. It's just a general principle. Keep Minnesota money in Minnesota for our uses. Preferably, I would prefer, if they're not going to use it for some other purpose, then it should go back to the ratepayers who paid it, to be refunded back to them, or it should be used for the purposes for which it was collected. That, to me, is just a principal position. I don't have anything else more than that.
I don't think you might answer my question. Maybe this is more of a question than to the author. My understanding is this is being kept in an escrow account, not for use, not available to be used.
Right.
Am I wrong? Or is it going to be something that, as Representative Kiffmeyer thinks, would be somehow be able to be used?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, under the bill, it would call for the money to be escrowed to collect interest in an account here in Minnesota, with the eventual purpose, hopefully, to go off together with the monies from other states to go off to the completion of Yucca Mountain to get it. You know, that they say, okay, it's ready to accept waste. All right, here's our contribution. You've kept your end of the deal. We'll keep our end. But barring that, at the rate they're going, it doesn't look like they're going to keep their end of the deal. So my question and the purpose of the bill is, why continue sending good money after bad to some account in Washington, D.C., when they're not keeping their end of the bargain?
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, so I think you're backing me up. The money would not be available for Minnesota to use. That's what I thought I heard you say, and I just don't think we should be under the illusion that somehow the money would be kept here for Minnesotans to use. It wouldn't be. It would be sitting in an account for nobody to use. Isn't that correct?
The Chair, Representative Clark, the purpose of the escrow account would be to hold it until the purpose is finished, which is Yucca Mountain.
Okay.
So if Yucca Mountain is not finished and there was authority to use it for some other purpose, then it could be used for that purpose, but that is not the current case.
Right. Okay, I just want to make sure that I understood and that we all understood exactly what this money would not be available by just keeping it here in Minnesota. The other thing I wanted to ask, there was a question earlier about have there been any problems with the story that at Clarion, I think it was maybe a month ago, there was a cold yellow incident that happened there, and are you familiar with that, Representative Atkins?
Representative Clark, not that particular incident, no.
I just asked my staff to try to bring down the article on it. Sorry, I don't have the date exactly when it happened, but there was an incident there, and I know the community around there was a little disturbed because they weren't informed right away. But there was a problem of moving some nuclear waste from the plant. I believe to talk about it in just very gross terms, I guess, the shipment didn't stay located in the way it was supposed to stay in the container, and rotated down to the bottom of the container, and the concern was that in the shipping of it could have exposed
as it was transported, could have exposed if it had gone straight on the side. It moved. It should not move, period. But it did move. And when it did, depending where it landed in the container, there's an exposure to the public that happened. And they called it code yellow because it's something that's very serious. And it didn't stay on the side of the container, which is good because in the way it was being transported, vehicles passing on the same highway were not exposed to that high-level radiation. On the other hand, it could have stayed there. And so there's, you know, this is not a perfect situation to either have maintained there or transporting from there the nuclear waste that's created there. And it's a risky, very risky situation. It doesn't so much speak to this particular purpose of the spill, but I wanted to mention that because there are dangers, continuous dangers, of leakage and of incidents that have happened over the years, numerous ones that the people of Hay Island can tell you about. This is just a recent one. It's not a harmless situation to have this high-level nuclear waste sitting, as Representative Kahn mentioned, on the Mississippi River. And so I just think we need to be clear about that when we're talking about the whole issue of nuclear power and especially the waste that's generated by it.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Clark, I just want to clarify that I did not have by any means in my words or intentions to say that that $13 million could be used to balance our budget in the situation it's in. It's obviously an escrow, but the main thing is that it should be used for its purposes, and just to clarify.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Representative Clark's point, I would love to, if you could bring in more information about that, because what I've read is that there's never been any deaths from a nuclear power plant in the United States. And the one incident that did happen, the result was exactly what was intended to happen. And as far as the radioactive levels, I've heard that anecdotally, and I've tried to find more information on that. So if you could bring that would be great. My understanding is the last time they did a report on Monticello, the plant there, which I live fairly close to, is the radioactive levels were well within the normal range. So if you could find that article on the code yellow, I'm trying to understand a little bit more about the issue of radioactivity and what exactly that means, maybe the harm that's been done to people that have been exposed to radioactivity from nuclear power plants throughout the years. I've never seen any real specific information on that. So if you could provide that would be really helpful.
There's a lot of information around the country and around the world, and so sure, we could put together something for you.
Any other discussion or questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative Atkins, would you like to make a summation?
Mr. Chair,
and I'll move.
Okay. I think folks have a good understanding of it.
Representative Hilty renews his motion for House File 895 to be recommended to pass and be referred to committee in Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, that
894, excuse me. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
No.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir. Representative Hilton.
Reserve comments until we move to Representative Atkins' bill because I didn't want to prolong that discussion, but I should mention, since we are on the subject of nuclear energy, that the Legislative Energy Commission will be hearing expert testimony on the moratorium issue this coming Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. in this room, and that following day, also at 6:30 in this room, the Energy Committee will be taking action on the moratorium proposals.
Thank you, Representative Hilton. Mm-hmm. Representative Hoffman.
Since Representative Hilty has raised that, I'm assuming the committee will look at the most recent action of the Obama administration and how it affects that decision. That does put our state in a totally different position relative to nuclear waste.
Okay.
Representative Welty. Representative Welty has House File 865, and would Representative Lagunas move the House File, please?
Yes, I'll move the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division report for House File 865.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Welcome, Representative Welty. Representative Wiggins,
I'd like to move House File 865, be recommended to pass and place it on the general register.
Thank you. Representative Welty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'll try to keep this as brief as possible. House File 865 in front of you redesignates the Great River Ridge Trail as a state trail. In 2006, we passed language that designated the trail a state trail, but it was unique because we wanted there to be an agreement between the county or Wabasha County Regional Rail Authority and the state of Minnesota as far as the maintenance of the trail. And so the language said that there must be an agreement between the county or the Regional Rail Authority and the state, and then it also had some language in there that the Regional Rail Authority had to file some special language with the Secretary of State. Well, a legal contract was drawn up between the Wabasha County Regional Rail Authority and the state. That's here, so we fulfilled our obligation. The only thing that wasn't submitted was the special paperwork to the Secretary of State essentially saying that this was done. And so the DNR, we all thought it was designated, and then in February of this year, the DNR started engineering work on the Great River Ridge Trail because in 2008, we appropriated $1.5 million in bonding money to construct or pave the trail. And then it was found that this special paperwork hadn't been filed. We followed up, found out that there was a gap because of some staff turnover in the county. And so the DNR came forward and they said, we want to continue moving forward on this trail, but in order to get this legally sound, we just want you to redesignate the trail and use the same language as a normal trail would use when designating a trail. So that's why this bill is in front of you. Ron Potter with the DNR is here in the audience if you need any questions answered. We have taken this through both environment committees, and it's sailed through, and there weren't any questions.
Any questions from the committee? Discussion. Representative Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Welty, 2008 money was appropriated, bonding was appropriated for exactly what purpose?
It was
Representative Welty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Emmer. The bonding was appropriated for paving the trail.
Mr. Chair, Representative,
Emmer.
So this agreement, it sounds like there's more than just one piece to it. By taking it on as a state trail, what does that encompass in terms of responsibility, liability into the future?
Representative Welty.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Emmer, when a state trail is normally designated a state trail, the state assumes full responsibility for that trail. And we wanted there to be shared responsibility for the trail, and that's why there was this agreement drawn up, so that the Wabasha County Regional Rail Authority has some share of maintenance and operation of that trail, which is not normally done. So it's actually in the state's best interest to move down this road when there's actually a shared responsibility between the local unit of government and the state.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Emmer.
Well, I can't argue that, but it seems to me that we don't have a state trail right now. Why isn't it just all the maintenance, why doesn't it rest with the local authority as opposed to the state taking on any responsibility for it, unless it was a state trail originally?
If you want to get into what the state takes on when they designate a state trail, I would ask Mr. Potter to come down and answer that question if you want to get into all the technicalities of it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Welty, all I'm interested in is, are we taking on additional financial responsibilities over and above in continuing the bonding authority that was issued?
Representative Welty.
Mr. Chair, Representative Emmer, I have a fiscal note here showing no costs to the state for this, because either they've already built it into their base budget or they're willing to absorb, plus there's this agreement in place of the state having some, or the local unit of government having some share in this.
So, Mr. Chair, Representative Welty, it's your understanding that there's absolutely no cost to the state as far as ongoing maintenance?
Representative Welty.
I am referring, Mr. Chair, Representative Emmer, I'm referring to the fiscal note that was presented to me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Welty, I don't have that fiscal note, I don't believe. And does it go for the next 2 years, or is it into the future?
Representative Welty.
Mr. Chair, Representative Emmer, it's fiscal year 2009 through fiscal year 2013.
Okay. Thanks. Representative
Hausman. Mr. Chair, I just thought I would let you know that I did give the bill to our research staff just to check the bonding language to see whether language needs to be repeated somewhere else.
Any other discussion or questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative Wagenius renews her motion to move House File 865 to be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion passes. All right, we have a note here. Please remove, arrive promptly. Our goal is to hear the bill and move it to taxes on Tuesday, March 24th at 8 a.m. Yep, Tuesday, March 24th.
Which bill is it?
The Lanning Bill? House File 1194.
What is
that? It is to be moved to taxes. Thank you. And by the way, I ask and appreciate the indulgence of the committee members and staff today. Any other motion? Representative Biskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it's my understanding that the committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. for the purpose of moving a bill from finance to ways and means. Is that correct? To taxes, I'm sorry.
Right, that is correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
In room 10.
We're meeting tomorrow.
Seeing no other business.
Is that the only business?
You know,
can we do that right now? Okay.
Committee is adjourned.